Shalom. This is Gary Dereshinsky, Congregational Leader of Beth Ariel Messianic Congregation. Thank you for downloading our message. We're delighted to make it available to you through the generous donations of our members and friends at Beth Ariel. We know that many are struggling financially because of the challenges facing our economy, and we do not want financial issues to keep anyone from enjoying our teachings. So please continue to listen in as often as you like. But if our presentations have been beneficial to you, and you are able to provide a financial donation to Beth Ariel, whether large or small, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift in support of our ministry? You can donate online through our website at bethariel.org. That is spelled BETHARIEL.org. Also, please remember to pray for us, that we would be responsive to the Lord's guidance as we reach out to the lost sheep of the House of Israel in the greater Los Angeles area. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this message. To Exodus chapter 20. We are going to depart from our normal. We're going to depart from our normal. We're okay, Rosie. We're all right. We're going to depart from our normal plans to look at lessons from the life of David. But given that it's Mother's Day tomorrow, I wanted to share some things that would be relevant to our mothers and the ladies in our congregation. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me beginning at Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments. And while there have been different ways that the commandments have been enumerated, we do have the 10 of them. And depending on how you count them, they would be 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, what's interesting about this passage is of the Ten Commandments, of course, all but the Sabbath commandment is reiterated in the Brit Hadashah in the New Covenant Scriptures. But we start here because this is the first commandment, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. This is the first commandment that has a promise or a blessing attached with it, where he says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land, that you will stay in the land for a long time, not be uprooted, taken off of the land of promise that the Lord is bringing them to, that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, one of the interesting facets about this commandment, and really these commandments, there is a text. You may or may not be familiar with it, but there is a text that is called the Mikilta de Rabbi Ishmael. And the Mikilta is a midrash. It's a collection of commentaries. Now, when we talk about midrash, the word midrash comes from the Hebrew word darash. And a darash is an inquiry. It's an investigation. It's a looking into. It's a study of. So a midrash is a study of a given passage or passages in the scriptures. And there are two kinds of midrashim, two kinds of investigations of scripture. There is what is referred to as halakha, comes from the word halach, which means to go or to walk. And so halakha are midrashim or commentaries that are on legal aspects of the Bible. The thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. Those portions of the scriptures that have to do with the Mosaic law and the specific laws that make up the Mosaic law. Everybody with me? That's the halakha, meaning the laws. The word means to go or to walk, but we're talking about how do you walk, how do you go? You walk in accordance with the law of God. And that is in contrast to Haggadah. Of course, you know the word Haggadah. Those of us from the East Coast, we don't call the booklet on Passover the Haggadah, as somebody was arguing with me. But we call it the right way, the Haggadah. It's the Haggadah. But actually, technically, it's the Haggadah. But I'm not going to admit that publicly. Oh, technically, that's the way it is. But in Jersey, we do our own thing. The Haggadah to us. In any case, the Haggadah comes from the Hebrew word nagad, which means to tell. So it tells stories. So those portions of the Bible that are stories, we would call it technically narrative. Books like the book of Genesis is narrative, tells us a story of the foundation for the Jewish people. So when we look at passages that deal with stories, events, history, that is Haggadah. When we deal with legal materials, that's Halakha. You with me? Now, this text, the Mekilta de Rabbi Ishmael, is a collection of comments, midrashim, reflections, thoughts on halakha portions, legal portions. So when this book, which is a multi-volume set, I just brought in one here, that deals with the book of Exodus, it starts with Exodus 12, because Exodus chapters 1 to 11 is the Exodus from Egypt, it's the story. So that's Haggadah. But this is all about legal material. So it starts at Exodus 12, where we have the laws regarding the Passover lamb. And it goes through the remaining books of the law, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, etc. Now, what was interesting, this book, by the way, is one of the oldest of a period of time in Jewish history. Now, I know I'm giving you a lot of terminologies, but when you have Jewish rabbis, scholars, from the early first century and before, they are referred to as Tanaim in Jewish history. And Rabbi Ishmael had collected, he's collecting all of these different comments that rabbis have made, and he's writing this, compiling it around the Tanaic period, the early first century into the second century. So this is old stuff. And Rabbi Ishmael's collection is some of the oldest rabbinic thoughts on this legal material. Now, what is really interesting when you come to this commandment on honoring your father and mother, he's collected these comments. I just wanted to share with you what some of these rabbis said, because it serves to heighten the importance of this commandment. So I want to demonstrate, just for a moment as I introduce this section, is that this commandment is an important commandment. Not that any of the commandments are unimportant, but as I've said numerous times, some things are more important than others. Right. Everything in the Word of God is equally inspired. Everything is equally the Word of God. But not everything is as important as everything else. So there are more important books of the Bible than some others, though they are all equally inspired. And I've shared this before. One of my professors shared it with me, and I thought it was a very good illustration, is that if you thought about the books of the Bible, which they are separate individual books, we take the Bible and we have one bound document with 66 books. But the Bible didn't come that way, right? The Bible is individual books. And they are written independently of each other. So if you could imagine, instead of a Bible being one book, if you could imagine 66 separate volumes. With me? Yeah. Now imagine those 66 separate volumes scattered throughout your house. You know, because you're a very prolific reader. So every time you go into a different room, you've got different books so that you'll be able to read them. So they're in your bedroom, they're in the den, they're in the living room, they're all over the place. And now imagine that your house catches fire. And now you've got to rescue these books. But you can't get to all of them because the fire is burning. So you have to make a decision. Which books are you going to make sure are saved from the fire? This is another way of saying which books are more important, that you must have them. Now, if you think of your life also is sort of like that, because just like the house has a certain degree of time and space until it burned down, our lives have only so much time and space. None of us can be experts in every book of the Bible, but we have to make a choice because we only have so much time and space in our lives. Since we have limited time and space, we need to ask ourselves, which books of the Bible do we want to make sure we have a good knowledge of? So if I was to ask you, which books of the Bible must you know? You're going to join with me and you're going to say, we got to know the book of John. Everybody with me on that one? Got to know the book of John. And if you had a choice between knowing the book of John and knowing the book of Joel, which book are you going to choose? You're going to choose John, right? Why? Because John is more important than Joel, maybe, right? Equally inspired, but one is really more important. One tells us the story of Messiah. The other one tells us many things too, but here we learn of his death, burial. Got to have this book in your arsenal. Need to know this book. And if you're going to be understanding doctrine, the word doctrine sometimes scares us, but it means teaching. And so you have to have your teaching in order, right? There's a lot of different congregations out there that teach all kinds of things. And so you need to have a sense of, what does the Bible really teach us about the character of God? And if you're going to have a theological book that's going to put it together for us, you got to know the book of Romans. That's the most important epistle Paul wrote. It's one of the reasons why it's the first one of the letters. It's there because this is a critical part of the scripture. And if you're going to ask yourself, if I only have so much time and space, and I can only know so many books of the Bible, one of the books I've got to be in is the book of Romans. And wouldn't you say that if I had to make a choice between the book of Romans and even as wonderful a book as the book of Judges, aren't you going to make sure to know the book of Romans? Got to know this book. And if we're going to look at the Hebrew scriptures, got to know the book of Genesis. I mean, that's how do you know where sin comes from? It's Genesis. How do you know where Israel comes from? It's Genesis. Most quoted book in the New Testament. It's Genesis. We need Genesis. Got to have that. Why do they quote it so much? It's an important book. One of the most important books. And if we're going to have another book we're going to need to know, we need to know the book of Isaiah. Now, I know some of us probably have not ventured there because it just looks daunting. But you got to get there because that's another one of the most important. It's a little Bible. It's got everything the rest of the Bible has in 66 chapters. You don't even need 66 books. You got 66 chapters. It's all there. Isaiah 53. I mean, the most important prophecy of our coming Messiah is right there at the heart of the book. We need to know that book. And when you think of chapters 7 through 12, you know, chapter 9, you know, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If we need to know a verse, we got to know that verse. And we light the candles. That's Isaiah chapter 11. And so all of this, these texts are coming from a book we need to jump into. And we need to know, have the Psalms. 150 of them. That's a big book. And it covers every aspect of theological reality within the context of our lives. So if we were to say, what are the five most important books of the Bible? There they are. John and Romans, Genesis, Isaiah, Book of Psalms. Now, you may not agree with me totally with that, but I really think my professor was right. You know, I think he's right on the mark. And if you were wise, you would join with him and maybe me. You know? But nevertheless, my point is this. The Ten Commandments are important laws. They're important. So important, they were the ones that God wrote with his own finger, we're told, on the tablets of stone that he gave to Moses. And one of those commandments is to honor your father and mother. This is an important expectation that God has for us. Now, this is what I wanted to read to you. This is from one of these oldest compilation of rabbinic ideas on this. And this is how they concluded this is an important commandment. I had not thought of it this way, but think about this. The reason this is so important is because he declared honoring your father and mother to be equal to honoring God. Fearing them equal to fearing God. Cursing them equal to cursing him. So you say, why? Get this. I've never seen this before. It is written. Of course, that's always a phrase meaning it's found in the Bible. It is written, honor thy father and thy mother. And correspondently, it is written, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. See, the same word, honor, is found, honor God, honor your father and mother. What do the rabbis conclude? It is as equally important to honor your father and mother as it is to honor God. That's their idea. So you have to ask yourself, if there is a lesser kind of honoring, why don't we use a lesser word? They're arguing the word kavod. We recite this every morning, by the way, when we say the kadosh. You know, we're saying glory, honor. The word kavod means to be heavy, weighty. It means to ascribe weight or value to something. The same word kavod, we're told to kavod God. We're also told to kavod our father and mother. What does the rabbis conclude? It is equally important to honor your father and mother as it is equally important to honor God. By the way, that word, to honor, is not used of anyone else other than God and your father and mother. That's what the rabbis are trying to point out. Get this. Scripture thus puts the honoring of one's parents on an equality with honoring God. It is written, Leviticus 19:3, you shall fear every man, his mother, and his father. Leviticus 19:3, you shall fear, every man shall fear his mother and his father. And correspondingly it is written, Deuteronomy 6, you shall fear the Lord your God. So we're both to fear God and we're supposed to fear our father and mother. Then they say, Scripture thus puts the fear of one's father and mother on an equality with the fear of God. It is written, and he that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:7. And correspondingly it says, whoever curses his God shall be put to death. Leviticus 24:15. Scripture thus puts the cursing of one's father and mother on an equality with the cursing of God. Come and see the rewards for obeying these two commandments. It is said, honor thy father, honor the Lord with thy substance, so shall your barns be filled with plenty. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. And it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long. It says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 6, 13. And its promise in reward, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, right? To see that these commandments, honor your father and mother, fear your father and mother, do not curse your father and mother, are reiterated with regard to God. And thus, the point is, honoring our father and mother and our relationship to our parents is important. Now, I know that everybody has had good parents, right? Some have had very wicked parents. I get that. We're not talking about the exceptions that prove the rule. We're talking about what is normative, what is typical, what is expected. And that, and we can talk about the exception in a moment. But for the sake of argument, just hang with me. The point here is that this commandment, one of the ten, is important. It is significant. And some of these phrases that relate to our parents are phrases that are used of God himself. That ought to cause us pause. And I have to confess, I had not seen this, but I had not been the kind of child or son to my parents that I ought to have been, even after I became a believer. When I think about some of my internal attitudes and actions, I could have done a lot better. But here's the thing. The question is this. How are we to obey, or I should say, how are we to honor our parents? Now, of course, we honor our parents differently at different stages of our life because at different stages of our life, we have different kind of relationship with them. And you know, the Bible addresses that. So I want to take on a little tour of some of these things. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. When we were little people, when we were children, Paul tells us, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, He says, let me get there. He says, children, everybody with me? Ephesians chapter 6. As children, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Here it is. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the earth or in the land. As children, our responsibility, though we may not understand it as such earlier, as children, the way we honor our father and mother is to obey them. Mm-hmm. Our parents say, turn the television off, do your homework. We turn the television off, we do our homework. We've all done that, right? We're very compliant, you know. When, you know, our parents would get us up, time to go to school, get dressed, let's go, get breakfast. We say, okay, Mom. We jump out of bed and our responsibility in honoring our father and mother when we are children is to obey them, right? And so we're to do what they tell us to do. When we get older, we become young adults. Things change somewhat. I'm not saying we now disobey them, but it's a little different. You know, it's a little different because now we become independent moral agents. Our conscience has developed a little bit more. We understand right and wrong a whole lot better than we did when we were very young. And we understand the dangers that when we were children, we didn't appreciate or didn't recognize. And so when we get older, let's say young adult, teen, young adult in here, now the way we honor our father and mother is not merely obeying. Now it is learning from their instruction. Now it is receiving their teaching. Now check this out. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Because he goes on to say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, now watch this, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. See, now our responsibility as parents is to teach, and our children's responsibility is with the knowledge they've now gained to make right choices. It's not just merely obey, because I told you, but it is, haven't I shared with you how you're supposed to deal with this? And so now the responsibility begins to shift from merely just do what your parents tell you, little man, to be understanding about what your parents have taught you, that you now make decisions that are appropriate. It's not just here, but turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. By the way, I had typed in the computer Proverbs on marriage and parenting. Really interesting. I mean, because it's really hard to study through the book of Proverbs because there's just statements keep coming up. So it's great when people have sort of collated that for you and you can see these passages in a clump, you know. So in chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son. See, now we're not dealing with a child, an obedient son does what his father and mother say. Now it says, a wise son hears his father's instruction. See, now as we're a little older, our responsibility is to listen to what we've been taught, take it to heart, and if we're wise, we'll do as they have shared with us and led us to understand. That doesn't mean parents have all the answers. It's not the point. The point is now we're to evaluate what is been shown to us. And a wise son will give heed to what they've been told. If you look at Proverbs chapter 20:23, and you look at verse 22. Solomon writes, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. See, the child is older now because the mother is older now. And now it's not simply obey your father and mother. You know, that's interesting too. The law says honor your father and mother. Kavod them. Give value to them. How do you give value to them? When we are young, we obey them. When we are older, we respect their ideas and their thoughts. We evaluate them. And where their instruction is in the righteous ways of life and of the Lord, we would be wise if we would pay heed to them. He says in verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. So honoring your father and mother when we are younger adults means that we take to heart the things that they have instructed us in, we learn from them, and we either do or avoid, do the good thing, avoid the dangerous thing, right? If you look at Proverbs chapter 6, and we go to verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Isn't that kind of cool? Is that they are to take root in our heart and in our soul, so that at every moment they have a way of impacting our lives for good, no matter whether it's at this point in our life or that point in our life, when we walk, when we lie down, when we awake. And I love that phrase, they will talk with you. You know, it's sort of like you enter into an encounter, an event. And they say, I remember what my dad or my mom said when this was about to happen, you know, or something of that sort. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, right? So when we are children, we honor our father and mother by obeying them. When we are young adults, we honor our father and mother by listening to their instruction, evaluating, living it in light of it. And when we are adults and we become parents ourselves, or even if we don't become parents, but when we are adults, we still are to honor our father and our mother. So how do we honor our father and mother when we're older? I think basically two things. First of all, we need to appreciate them. Now, I think of this out of my own life because I don't think I appreciated my parents as much as I ought to have. On the one hand, we ought to appreciate them because of the effort, you know, they put into raising us. Some of us were cake, you know, and our parents' friends said, man, I wish my son or my daughter was like your daughter, you know, or your, who gets straight A's, who gets the good notes from the teachers, who's just very compliant. Unfortunately, my mother never had that said about me. You know, I wish my son was like your, that never was going to happen. When I think I caused my parents, my mother particularly, probably more aggravation than I can begin to appreciate, or at least appreciate her for enduring it as much as she did. But parenting is really hard work. I mean, it's hard work. Joel came into our lives when he was 4 months old. So we didn't have him as an infant. But he was infant enough. But we were blessed. You know, Joel slept when he first came into our home. He slept 8 hours a day. I mean, you know, he was just easy as cake. Then he was like easy as cake. You know, and we thought, oh, we're like, we really have been blessed, you know. But as time goes on, you know, things change a little bit. But you know how hard it is. You know, those who have parented, or those who have young people that were under their care. You know, if you ever are a teacher, whether in a Sunday school or in a classroom, you know how challenging that can be. Or you know if you have relatives, you know, nephews, nieces, cousins, or whatever the case may be, and you know, and your brother or sister, would you talk to my son, talk to your nephew, talk to your niece, will you? And then you start and you realize, you know, this is not easy. And I get to hand him or her back. You know, but when you can't hand him or her back, you've got him or her for the rest of their life. You know, well, maybe not, hopefully not the rest of their life, but a good portion of it. And it's a lot of work, right? It's a lot of aggravation. I was not this way. This only happened when Joel came. I was, you know, when Joel came into our life, my hair was pitch black, you know. But it is, you know, challenging. And we can appreciate our parents if we think about the effort that it really takes. And even if you were an angel, you know, still got to watch. Still got to be concerned. Angels get sick too, you know. Angels struggle with issues too. And even if they don't cause them, they sometimes become victims of others that you need to defend and watch out for. And it's a 24/7 job, right? And even when they're out of the house and they're older, it's 24/7. We don't not think of our son simply because he's 3,000 miles away, right? I mean, they're there. So one of the ways we can honor our father and mother when we are adults, you know, is we can show our appreciation for the effort that had been put in. But it's not just effort, man. There's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of sacrifice. I heard someone speaking on this very topic, and they said they had read some article, I don't know where it was, a New Yorker or somewhere, where they talked about, and this is a number of years ago, what it cost to have a child till they're 18. Now, we've kept all our receipts because when we're getting ready for retirement, we're just going to put them here and say, Joel, here's the receipts, man. You're in debt. You're in debt. But depending on your child, my brother-in-law, for example, taking care of, he had three children, one of whom is 22 and is in ongoing 24/7 care with nurses and caregivers, etc. You know, the sacrifice, the cost is insurmountable at that point. You know, it's insurmountable. But when you think of sacrifice, just typically, not for a child that has particular needs, this article said that it costs, this a few years ago, upwards of $300,000. To raise a child from 0 to 18, and we're talking public school. So now, if you brought them into private school, it's gone up significantly. Now, if you're talking college, forget about it, you know? Then when you start thinking about medical costs, I just think of all the lacrosse gear that we invested in. You know, that alone is like Fort Knox couldn't pay us back for. I'm just talking money, right? I haven't even gone anywhere else. Just talking money. And you know, in our day and age, and I bet you this is more true here on the West Coast than on the East Coast, certainly middle America, families are deciding not to have children so they can have the homes they want. So they can have the cars they want to drive. So they can have the clothes they want. They can have the degrees they want. People are making that decision. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or otherwise. I'm just saying it's a sacrifice to have children. So we certainly can show appreciation for the effort because no parent is a perfect parent and no child is a perfect child. And it's work. And the sacrifice, what is given up and what is provided for. The second thing we can do is not only appreciate. And this is where I want to turn our attention to the Messiah for a moment. And that is when our, and I guess I'm saying this, and it's on tape, so Joel will get a chance to see this. You know? There comes a time when your parents get old. Older. You know, they get older. And roles reverse. Mm-hmm. They've taken care of us. Now we have to take care of them. I'm not talking about those that should be out getting a job, those that should get their education, those that should be, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when parents are hitting the end of the line. It's coming down to their near death. I don't mean death, but I mean, you know, they're into retirement, and now they're getting more dependent upon those who had depended upon them. And now the way we honor our father and mother, I'm thinking Mother's Day, mothers, is we are the ones that need to be providing for them. We need to be providing for them. And it only stands to reason that we would demonstrate godliness. By the way, I mentioned that word, and now it just occurred to me. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5 for some of us. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it talks about widows and all, and says that where there are real widows, and he defines what a genuine widow is, he says it's the believers, the congregation of believers' responsibility to take care of them. You know, real widows that don't have any children, that are destitute, they don't have anyone to take care of them. The congregation of believers is supposed to step up and make provision. But look at this he says here. He says in chapter 5, look, I'm just going to start at verse 7. Command these things as well, so that they may be, that is, the believers may be without reproach. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So, if we're going to, now remember, Exodus 20, honor thy father and mother. Remember what the Mikilta de Rabbi Ishmael pointed out. The same phrases are used of God. This is an important commandment. And if we're going to honor our father and mothers when they are older, that means we're to take care of our relatives. And if we fail to do that, Paul says, you know, you're behaving, you're acting like an unbeliever. And some unbelievers act better than believers in this respect. But we're like unbelievers. And what does he say? We have like denied the faith and are worse than unbelievers. So the need to provide for is daunting. It's hard. May even be undesirable. But that's what the word says. Now, this is what I thought about, is how wonderful Messiah is in this respect. And that's why we turn to him. We turn to him for wisdom to do it. We turn to him for empowerment to do it. We turn to him to change our very inners so we can do it. Because he's the one that can enable us to do this. Because he did it. Now, think about this. When Yeshua provided redemption for sin on the cross, he had 7 last words, right? And so often those 7 last words have been the context for a series of messages, right? So I tried to see if I could remember them. And I may or may not get them right. But remember, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Right? He said that. He said from the cross, I thirst. He said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. He said to the thief on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said, it is finished. And you remember the last thing he said? Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. You know, just saying it, does that put goosebumps on you? I mean, I just felt it, you know. I mean, think about this. He's providing salvation for the ends of the earth. He is in utter agony of soul. Like he said, why have you forsaken me? He has thought about those who are around him. Father, forgive them. And he's thought of that one right next to him. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He thought about the word of God that needed to be fulfilled. Psalm 22, I thirst. He had to say those words, you know. Psalm 22, he had to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Had to say those words. And he had to give his life up because no man takes my life. I lay it down freely. He would not have died unless he willed himself to die. So he had to say, it is finished, or he never would have died for our sin, right? And in the heart of it, right in the middle, almost like the Ten Commandments. Remember, the commandment, honor your father and mother, is the middle commandment. It ends the commandments toward God, you know. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Have no other gods before you. Don't make any idols. Worship the Lord only. And what is the other one? Keep the Sabbath day, right? The first series are all about God. After that, they're all about others. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. Everything's about others. And that's everything summed up the law and the prophets, right? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And here in the center, it's almost like the Ten Commandments, the seven words of Messiah, right in the center. He's honoring his father and mother. Well, in this case, he's honoring his mother. And he's thinking about providing for her. So he says to John, behold your mother, you're to take care of her. And he says to his mother, here is your son. He will take care of you, and you're to be connected to him. I just think it's unbelievable to think Messiah from beginning to end does it right. I came not to destroy the law, came to fulfill it, even to the point of honoring his father, or I should say, honoring his mother, and making sure she's taken care of even after he'll be gone. So on this Mother's Day, we want to honor our mothers, you know. We want to do it as unto the Lord. We want to do it in his power as best he can. If you still have opportunity, you want to do it because it will haunt you that you haven't. And you want the blessing of God, right? You'll be blessed with a long life, a good life, a full life, a meaningful life, right? In all the ways God will lead you, in the land that he's giving to you, you know. So we want to pray for our mothers this day, and we want to do right by them. And let me just say this final word here, because I said at the front end, you know, some of us have not had good mothers or fathers. You know, they were abusive, and they treated us horribly. And that needs to be realized in a fallen world and in a world of wickedness. But remember what Yeshua said. It was better for a person to tie a millstone around his neck and cast himself into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. God knows all about our struggles. Justice will occur. God will protect you. And that wonderful psalm. And if you don't remember anything else, remember this, Psalm 27, and remember what Yeshua did. Psalm 27, verse 10. For if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Know that you always have a heavenly parent who will watch over for you. And I would dare say he will provide someone in your life that will come alongside of you at some point in your life to be what perhaps you had been denied. And God will be that for you, and he'll provide that for you as well. So let's pray for our mothers this day. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We are grateful for your love and your faithfulness to us. And on today's not Mother's Day, but tomorrow is, we pray for the ladies in our congregation. Not every one of them has been a mother in the formal sense of the word, but no doubt the women in our congregation have been looked up to at one time or another as a mother would be looked up to. And we pray, Lord, that they would be so honored by those they have ministered to as well, those that they have served. But Father, we pray for our women here at Beth Ariel, and we pray, Lord, that your blessing would rest upon them. Help us to honor our mothers. Help those children that are not so honoring. May they change in this regard. And may such mothers experience the kind of honoring they ought. But Lord, we pray that we would be like Messiah, looking out for those in need, especially relatives that might need to depend upon us for one thing or another. So, Father, may tomorrow be, and this weekend, be a special time for them. And may they be appreciated. May they be reflected upon and remembered fully, especially those mothers that are no longer with us. And may we indeed provide as we ought. For we pray in Messiah's name. Amen. The worship team is here. Let me invite the usher.
Thank you for listening to our message. We hope that it serves to encourage you in your walk with the Lord and your service to Him. Do remember us in your prayers, and if you are able to provide a financial donation to Beth Ariel, whether large or small, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift in support of our ministry? You can donate online through our website at bethariel.org. That is spelled BETHARIEL.org. Thank you again, and may our Heavenly Father richly bless you as you continue to follow Him. Shalom, shalom.